love me, yeah they love me. First love yourself. For that, and God we trust. Trust me, I don't trust myself. Your jewelry, I get it too. No show.
Welcome back to It Is What It Is. This episode is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. The app is an easy way to make some cash just by making picks on your favorite players. Underdog is available in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, and New York, just to name a few. Make sure to support the show by hitting the link in the bio and downloading the Underdog Fantasy app. They'll also match your first deposit up to $100, and you get a special pick when you sign up. I'm Treasure Wilson, aka Stat Baby, along with your hosts Mace and Cam, and we are joined with our analyst, Maurice Clarette.
Yo, what's good, y'all? Yeah, I'm good. What's going on, Mo? How are you?
All is well. All is well.
Good, good, good. Okay, y'all. So we're just going to start the top of the show. It's a very sad day for us all. On April 10th, O.J. Simpson passed away due to cancer. His family released the news on Twitter stating, "On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace." Signed, the Simpson family. So, now knowing the news, definitely we just want to hear from you guys and some things that you want to share or say regarding OJ.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, obviously, I didn't know the format of today. Obviously, it's very unfortunate and probably untimely for a lot of people to hear that my man passed away. I don't know, but when I heard it, the news kind of like made me reflect on a lot of stuff. And it really had me starting, with the show, right? And I was asking myself, I was like, man, where would all of this stuff be if, Mason Cam didn't reconcile the issues, right? And if they never reconcile their issues, there's never a platform. And I'm pretty sure you can feel what I'm saying on this stat, but, you probably not right here. I'm not right here. Mark Jackson's not right here. And obviously OJ, when he was with us, he's not, inside of, or brought to the public in the way that he's been brought to the public over the last year. And it made me like grateful, saying grateful for just being a part of the show, but then also this being a space for people to see his personality, and of course, there's so much to be said when you talk about OJ in regards to his legacy, but some of the last moments and the things that I like to reflect and remember on is just him cracking jokes with both of those two, him making people laugh, him feeling more of like an uncle to just people in general. And oftentimes I feel like, Mason Cam, they older brothers, and I'm like a younger brother, you like a younger sister stat. And even with Mark Jackson, it feels some like sort of like family-oriented sort of deal going on. But I was just happy just to like, every Monday you come on, I know they're going to keep some jokes going on throughout the season. And even as the season, progressed, even throughout football season, and he got more comfortable and he felt less guarded. And I'm pretty sure y'all remember I said that earlier in the season. I was like, man, this is a place where you feel unguarded. You're dealing with real people. And I hate to use real niggas all the time, but you're dealing with real niggas or real people all the time. And it feels like it just felt like a cool place. But to see him laughing, joking, in the back of my mind, I think he knew that he probably had this going on. But to even just share the space and be like Uncle O to everybody and, all the the messages I done got through Instagram and Twitter and everything else, people just showing him love. It just made me have a sense of gratitude for the initial reconciliation with those two to then bring a platform and then bring people who just either was forgotten about, people talk shit on, or just the public disregarded. And to be able to be showing me in a different light, than they've ever done. And then also to show OJ in a different light, that was pretty cool to me. And I'm pretty sure I have much more to say. I don't want to, hog the show and hog this moment, but, I'll pass it to Mason, allow him to say his piece.
Yeah. For me, it's a real surreal moment because I definitely was looking forward to, OJ next season. And, had a lot of great ideas that I was talking with Cam about early in the year about, even other shows that we were going to do with O.J. Simpson. So this is a real touching moment for me because when we thought about coming and doing this show together and we thought about football, O.J. was the first name that came to my mind. When I thought about doing football, I asked Cam, I was like, what do you think about O.J.? And then Cam put the play together and reached out to Larry and got in touch with O.J. And I think we reached out to Steve Stoudas, a few other people to see if we can get O.J. to be a part of the show. And we went through a great deal to even have him on the show. I mean, because I appreciate Cam as well for believing in that idea of bringing him here, you know, because when I shared it with Cam, I was just like, this would be crazy. We start the football season off with O.J. because I know at that point, I didn't know much about, you know, all the ins and outs about football, and I felt we needed to surround ourselves with the best people, but somebody that was going to be outspoken, somebody who really knew their stuff, and somebody that people really couldn't refute on the topic. And that's kind of how the idea came about. But, you know, I'm just at a loss for words right now. I need a moment to get all my thoughts together. But I have a lot I want to share, and I want to make sure it comes from the right place. Pause. Cam?
Yeah. Nah, it was dope. Mace came up with us. So, yeah, just giving some more backstory to what Mace said. Mace came up with the idea, so when he came up with the idea, I was like, word, let's see what's up with OJ. That was a great idea because, like he said, between you, Maurice, and OJ, we like, these are people, and I'm not comparing you to OJ or whatever, but redemption, so to speak.
You know what I'm saying? He's not comparing you to OJ.
No, I'm just saying, people who've been went through something, you know what I'm saying, who's not necessarily bad people because you say they're bad people, or not you, just people in general.
Yeah.
So when we reached out and both you guys was available, it was really, really dope. And like May said, shout out to Larry. I know Larry's there. Larry's not Steve Stout. I call Steve Stout, but Larry's the one who actually made it happen, reaching out to his lawyer. Shout out to his lawyer, Ben, his family, and everybody. But, yeah, man, it was dope. Because, Mo, you said that correct. And I did see when you said it on Instagram, you could tell he was getting more comfortable week after week after week after week. And he was starting to loosen up. I remember when we first started, his manager had called me and was like, OJ says you guys use the word nigga a lot, man. And I was like, and then his manager was like, yo, no, you know, I told him that's the way it is. They don't mean no harm, my guy's like, yo. That's just the way, you know, it is. He's like, yeah, you know, he's like, don't get it messed up. I'm down with that. But, you know, I just don't like us to look bad publicly. He's like, I don't think they mean it no type of way. So by time week 7 or 8 or whatever week it was, and he was like, yo, light skinned niggas zip up that nigga suit too. And I'm like, oh, he's home. Then I was like, oh, nigga came home. Oh, it's home at this point. You know what I'm saying? So, and besides that, man, on the show, I don't care what nobody say, he was probably top 3 football analysts this past season because he didn't only have personality, he really knew the game. Yeah. And that's why it was a great suggestion that Mace bring him on. It was no problem every Monday morning when we did the show that we didn't think he was going to have his homework, know his facts, know every game, and have the right analytics along with his opinion on it. You know what I'm saying? And besides the show, you know, I used to go fuck with OJ, like, off the show when there wasn't no show. I go to the bar, meet him, we'll go to lunch, and people on the, you know, where we stay at loved O. You know what I'm saying? They really, really loved OJ, so You know, it's more than just the show for me, because like we hung out on several different occasions after the show, and you wouldn't believe how many people loved him, as much nonsense that's going on in other publications and other social media media outlets, I should say. But yeah, people loved him out here. So I just want to say it was great working with OJ.
Yeah.
He'll truly be missed. And, you know, I love him like a real, real uncle, man. So I'm really sorry this happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm glad that we did get to spend the last few months with him, at least one day out the week for me, minimum.
Yeah, this is definitely very difficult for us all to speak about, but I can say that, you know, OJ kept us hip and we kept him hip, talking about like the stories that he talked about. Yeah. At this point, I'm really into like that running back situation. Like anything that comes up, like I think of OJ because I know how he felt about that and how he felt about kickers. I don't got no shade towards kickers, but I know how OJ felt about kickers. So I kind of understand a lot more of the dynamic. And then even me, you know, telling him about like Ice Spice or him telling me about negligee. I was like, OJ, I don't know what that is, but he made sure to inform me and pick on me about it. So we always had super, super great conversations. And honestly, he always had a smile on his face. Like he was one of the dopest people to work with. And I'm happy that I had the opportunity to meet him, being that, you know, I was born in 2001. Like I think this was a dope, you know, situation to be in. Before we continue and ask more questions, I do want to read some of his stats because I know people have a lot of questions for us concerning OJ. But first, you know, I want to give him his due diligence. So OJ was a two-time unanimous All-American from USC. Y'all know he loved the Trojans and he also loved Caleb Williams. He's a 1968 Heisman Trophy winner. The Buffalo Bills selected him as the number one overall pick in the 1969 NFL Draft. He ended his pro career with 11,236 rushing yards, 2,142 receiving yards, and 990 kick return yards. He totaled 14,368 all-purpose yards in 135 games, and he scored 76 total touchdowns. He's the first player to rush for more than 2,000 yards in an NFL season, and he was selected to play in 6 Pro Bowls and was a first-team All-Pro selection 5 times. He was named to the NFL's All-Decade Team of the 1970s and the NFL's 75th Anniversary All-Time Team and the NFL 100 All-Time Team. He tried to be humble about it, but if you read his stats, y'all know he was that guy. He was great at what he did. And so a follow-up question that I want to ask you guys, what was your, you know, impression before meeting OJ?
Oh, man. Maurice, you first.
Yeah, that's fairly easy. The only information I have from OJ was obviously what you see publicly. And the last thing that I just recall was just, you know, the stuff that happened with him in Vegas and then him getting sentenced. I think he got sentenced to like 9 or 10 years or whatever it was. And so I didn't have like a negative opinion because I was 10 when all that trial stuff went on. So I was a younger kid. You know what goes on, but it doesn't weigh in your life one way or another. And then obviously I was in prison when he went to prison or he got sentenced to prison. So I remember just reading a lot or just seeing the details of that case and whatever they had in the paper. So I didn't really have a negative or a positive, just kind of like what it is. It's like, you know, for lack of better words, he just going through what niggas go through at times. Right. And what ended up happening was, I think on some level, when somebody is incarcerated, that's like its own fraternity of some sort. That you know what they go through, you know what halls they walk through, you know what yards they walk on, or you just know what it takes, whether you're a young man or an old man, just to get through that experience. And so, like, I knew him in that capacity, but I just kind of, like everybody else, like the same fans who in the YouTube comments or in the Instagram comments or in the Twitter comments, I got to know him through everybody else, through y'all just interacting with him on the show and just seeing his personality. You know, obviously you hear the stories and you see Instagram clips and people having their opinion on him, and they can have their opinion on him just like I have mine. But I came to like him, you know what I'm saying, after I heard him joke a lot, after I heard his detailed analytics when it came to, you know, describing a sport or the game or whatever it was that week. Or just when I remember I used to go back to my mother, I said, man, this dude is real personal. I see why people like him. I see how he smiles. I see how he interacts with people. I see just what he is. And so just like what Cam was talking about earlier, I'm somebody who went through something publicly So it's easier for me to look at the great qualities in somebody because I wanted people to still see the good in me, even though I may have been accused or done something in the past that, you know, probably wasn't favorable. So I don't know. I didn't have a negative opinion on him, just to say it in short, but I did want to add that, you know, it was just cool just watching him be an uncle, especially the niggas, you know, because he always got like this tag that he wasn't like associated or affiliated with black people. But I think in some regards, and I say this with the most due respect, this ain't to you, but this is niggas on this platform in many different regards. And he fit in very well. And you had a chance to see his personality and everybody loved him. So I don't know. I'm belaboring the point, but, you know, that's kind of like my thoughts on it.
Yeah, for me, now I'm a little bit more comfortable in the situation that we're talking about. When I think of OJ before meeting him, he was one of those images that I had pretty much in my brain for like black, when they call black excellence, whether it was growing up looking at, whether it was Denzel, whether it was Magic Johnson, who else? And OJ, he would be one of those figures that let us know that as young black men, we could do some powerful things. Before you get into all the other stuff, that was my initial understanding of OJ. I remember him, you know, the Hertz commercial, all of those type of things. They're like images in my mind of an all-American superstar. That's what initially came to my mind. And another thing that was so powerful when I talk about imagery, because what I remember of OJ before he comes to this show is that he was a part of the first time I seen the justice system go in our favor. That I would say that, even is no slight against what was on the table, but that's what is reminded to me, that it was the first time I saw anybody of a brown skin complexion get a favorable decision when the whole media was going against it. So that's what I remember, you know, and I know that's like a touchy subject. Blessings to their family, prayers to their family, as well as to the Simpsons, because when you think of it, they're all one family. Even though it's something catastrophic that took place, it's one family. And a lot of times in our families, you know, things happen within that family that make people not act as a family. But when you think about it, they have children, different things. That's what I was reminded of, that he was a part of that family.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mason. Because that, sitting here thinking about it, that was amazing to black people, at least for my age group, or me and Mesa's age group, to see somebody of our color get a favorable, or just call it what it is, innocent on a murder rap that the whole world was against him on, was crazy. Like, because shit don't usually, at that time, shit wasn't going our way, never. Ever, you know what I'm saying? So that's definitely a great point, Mesa, because I don't remember any time before that shit going our way and for black people. But what I will say is this. I've seen a lot of outlets today talking crazy shit about OJ. Mm-hmm. And y'all niggas ain't bring up none of his stats or nothing. The legal system, when it works for y'all, whatever race you is, you cool with it. But when it don't work for y'all, or you think it's wrong, then they gonna still be convicted in your eyes. That shit pisses me off. I ain't gonna hold you. Because every clip that I seen yesterday or today or whenever with the nigga in court and he won the case. I don't understand how niggas are still convicting niggas if they won the case. Like I seen motherfucking Caitlyn Jenner write some shit, good riddance. Caitlyn Jenner, you killed niggas in Calabasas. And talking about paparazzi was chasing you, and you was Bruce. No, nothing to do with transgender shit or nothing like that, but I'm just trying to say, the paparazzi wasn't on Bruce, so when you had to be running to kill niggas, you ain't Princess Di, nigga. The fuck you mean you, the paparazzi was on you, nigga? You kill niggas and you paid niggas $800,000 because you was wrong. If you wasn't wrong, you would have fought it. You killed niggas, admitted to killing niggas, and then paid niggas because you killed niggas. I heard niggas talking about, oh, yo, it's like George Zimmerman. George Zimmerman admitted that he killed niggas and got off on the technicality. He admitted that he killed niggas. OJ won the trial. So when I was seeing all that shit be today, that shit pissed me off. I ain't gonna hold you. Because whether you guilty in public opinion or not, you're not guilty if you won the trial.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you get what I'm saying? So if he lost the trial, he would have never been on the show. He's on the show because he won the trial.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, that shit had me on fire today. Mad niggas, you beat up Rodney King on camera. Everybody gets off. 17 cops. You ain't wondering where none of these cops is at. What they doing? They beat the shit out of nigga on TV. You ain't give a fuck. Nobody. It was on camera.
Yeah.
Everybody got acquitted. We don't know what happened to them niggas.
Yeah.
Niggas just gone. It's all good. Niggas is just gone. A lot of you motherfucking niggas, when I meet you or when I see you, if I say, what's up, Tom, Thomasina, and that's not your name, you're Uncle Tom, and that's what I'm calling you that for. Straight up. A lot of you black niggas was fucked up today and yesterday.
Yeah.
Period.
You're right about that, Cam, especially when it came from, you know, people of our skin complexion, because it's not about protecting somebody of the same complexion if they're wrong. But we live in a society that celebrates. I mean, they show enamor to people that come home from jail that are guilty and they're treated innocently. And then there's a person that was innocent that we're treating guilty is totally backwards. And to think that, you know, that he had these things to say, it was amazing just to hear. I know exactly who you're talking about. It was amazing to hear him talk like this, because you can't treat people guilty that got an innocent plea. You just can't do that. I mean, that's the world
about
we live.
I'm talking about a bunch of niggas.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one person.
Oh, it yeah, was I wasn't on the internet. So everybody was going crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't just one black person. It was black men and women.
Well, yeah. I tell you like this, I really...
So I, everywhere I that they said like this, you everyone, you have the right to put Uncle Tom under their comments. Uncle Tom, no matter what network they on, Uncle Tom. He was acquitted. And when you think about it, the only thing that he pretty much could owe is the thing that he and I want to make light of something real quick so we could kind of get that heaviness pause out of the room. But the only thing he owed was the money for the civil suit. But if you think about it, I have people that have gotten that have wanted their stuff back from me and they didn't do 9 years. So I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, I'll tell you
them charges was trumped up because they didn't get him on the murder charge. So at the end of the day, they said, we're going to give you the maximum time that you could get for this particular case, talking about the case mm-hmm. where he did go to jail
yeah.
and do 8 years in Las Vegas. Because he went to go take his property back.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of the revenge, so to speak, for him not going to jail for the murder rap. Them charges were super trumped up. Yeah. And everybody know it. But it is, they just gave him the maximum time they could give him.
Yeah. And I'm saying that because when you think of that situation, go ahead, Mo. You just go ahead.
Look, real quick. In the same state, and I'm not bringing this up because families were hurt and people were hurt too, and I'm not here to bring up people's past because everybody makes mistakes. Yeah. The same state that he got 8 years in, a football player did 160 miles in a residential, killed somebody and they dog and got 18 months. Same state, same city.
Wow.
On a reckless homicide. Yeah, that's his name? Yeah.
Henry
and Rowe, I said, I'm not trying to throw his name back in the media or put him out there like that, but it's public information.
Yeah.
18 yeah. months. You killed somebody and their dog got 18 months. OJ just went to get his shit back and got 8 years. So that shit is dumb obvious.
Yeah.
My bad, Mar. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
This is just to build on, and believe you me, before the show started, man, I had like 1,000 emotions. I'm not going to front. Not even going to bullshit mm-hmm. y'all, right? And literally the same reason, you know, I was in a space where I was angry and pissed off at, like, I was going through comments, and it didn't really bother me when white people felt how they felt towards OJ, because I got it. I understand it, right?
Yeah.
They going to feel how they feel. It bothered me seeing black people talk shit about him. You know, so I'll be honest with you. And it's like national media news outlets are just mm-hmm. popular niggas, right? Mm-hmm. And I still, on a lot of levels, I still operate on penitentiary rules. I'm like, man, this dude has passed away. He's dead. If you ain't got shit positive to say, or if you feeling different about the nigga, just leave him alone. You know what I'm saying? Don't speak on his name at all. Don't even slander him or do no bullshit. But I hate when it feels like somebody's talking for an audience that they trying to pull, that they trying yeah. to impress or shit like that. I ain't really with that shit, right? And so that bothered me. And I was like, and I was talking to my girl, and I'm like, man, I was like, it feel weird that I feel some type of way. And I would talk to OJ through Twitter, and I would just like, you know, even throughout the season, I say, hey, man, when I get to Vegas, I'm gonna check you out and all this other stuff. And so I felt a relationship through just going back and forth with him through Twitter. And then I felt like he's part of like this family. So I'm like, man, I really got like strong feelings towards yeah. black people talking shit on him. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, am I supposed to feel like this? And I ain't really hung around a nigga, but I'm like, yeah, this is like real. And I just didn't know what to do with the feeling. I was like, man, I feel some type of way about just niggas trying to slander him. And I totally understood the white people. This ain't like a black and white thing, but it is a black and white thing where I was like, hey, they got their right to feel how they feel. But when it came to niggas slandering him, I just felt like a lot of shit was overboard and a lot of stuff was to impress white people who probably employed him or to say like, yeah. hey man, look, I the way you feel towards that nigga, I vocalized it. And I just didn't think that shit was cool. And so even when you start talking about when you see niggas who coons, like I just had it in the back of my mind. I was like, I got a handful of niggas who permanently like sit in another box with me, because when somebody passed away, like you got to have a decency as a human being, even if you feel, yeah. even if you feel negative about the person, man, keep the shit to yourself. You know what I'm saying? But that's the one thing I do hate about the internet. Like there's no consequence and I don't want to take it that way or talk about that. But I just hate when just niggas just talk stupid shit. I just hate stupid shit. That's mm-hmm. what I'm saying.
And my final statement that I'll make is that when I hear you guys say this, what come to mind to me, because I didn't watch the internet, because I didn't want my views to come from anything I saw or anything I heard. But what I'm hearing while I'm listening to you all and us talk about this situation is that as black men or African American men or colored men, whatever we want to call ourselves, we really have to think about how we're allowing ourselves to be depicted and how we allow them to use our voices to create narratives, because it seemed like no matter who we are or what we do or how high we achieve, that they're trying to make sure that nobody leaves here with a clean name. And that's serious to think about. So for the Mace, the Cam, the Maurice, the OJs, the Jay-Z, no matter how high you want to go up, LeBron James, that's why it's important for us to speak now, because we get into that place where it's not allowing anybody to have a clean name. And everybody, if you live long enough, have done something wrong.
Yeah. And I end this saying this. You know, RP OJ, first of all, yeah. love and we're going to miss you. But I'll say to end with this real quick. It don't have to be a problem because your community don't like something and another community does. That's just the way it is, B. You understand? Sometimes things is going to be in favor of one community and things going to be in favor of another community. That don't mean you racist. That don't mean you got a problem with another race. It just means that you feel a certain way about your race and you got over. Like Mace said, for me and Mace, we've never seen nobody beat a murder trial. I mean, since then, we could probably go down a bunch of people who have, because the justice system started getting filled up with color as long as the Oval Office and the White House, and we never seen a black president. You know, Stat May, first president, she may remember it might be black. I'm not saying she ain't no George Bush before.
No, it is.
You know, if you born in a certain year, right now you might be like, yo, what's up with all these white presidents? When we going to get a black one again? That's what they started off with. You know what I'm saying, Murder? Like, they started off with a black president. So they not even like, yo, what's happening? So it's all good. If some communities like some things that's in favor for other people, and it's not a problem. I don't mean it's racist. I don't mean it's beef. That just means that
they have a preference
for certain communities. Now, that don't mean it has to always be a problem.
Well, I prefer better treatment.
and a little bit of reparations.
Yeah, and a little bit of reparations. And we're going to make, what is that, 410? So we know what 420 is. 410 is officially OJ Day.
And then I do just want to add, because I have a very different perspective. Y'all, I was, again, born in 2001.
Yeah.
This is the only image I have of OJ. I've never watched any videos. I've never watched any documentary. I've never watched any trials. I've never seen anything. I swear I don't live under a rock. That's just not what was being broadcasted on the TV. They've made fun of me before about watching SpongeBob. That's literally what I was watching, SpongeBob. And I was in my books, didn't see anything. And it's kind of crazy how things work out, because it's not like, you know, me being 22, a Gen Zer. I'm sure I was probably the only 22 Gen Zer who was, you know, chatting it up about football with OJ every single week. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. But it's just, it's annoying for me as well, because I definitely always had an unbiased point of view, never seen anything, never thought anything. And the one thing, and Cam and Mays both know, I was trying to do one last interview with him, given that I had a very unbiased perspective, just to be able to tell his life and have him have the opportunity to tell his legacy and end off the story the way that he wanted it to be told. And then this is what I quote on my Instagram, time beat me. That's just how it feels. So the whole thing is just really sucks. But like, you know, things do happen, and sad it happens to people. So definitely rest in peace to OJ. But that is the piece that I wanted to do. And in good light, we did show him, you know, having fun, chatting up, doing something that he loved to do. Like, for the newer generation, my generation, this is the piece that we see of him. And I think that this is, you know, this is the videos that we see now, the videos that we see on Twitter, like a happy OJ talking football, which is what he loves to do.
Yes. And before we even go into the next point, prayers go out to the Simpsons and the Goldmans, you know, because for some people, maybe to them, this is maybe closure for them. And we're not going to be insensitive to that, you know, because it's all one family.
And then the last notes before we go to break, gotta ask just in general, what was it like working with OJ, and do you have a favorite moment?
When I came out here today, I wanted to have this big glass with blueberry juice. I wanted to get But I, you know, I thought you was going to bring the blueberry juice, but since you didn't have it, I was going to get some blue Gatorade. I think that was one of my funniest moments with OJ, or when he told me, Mace, you look sharp today. And I thought he was giving me a compliment. And then he said, is that genuine leather you have? And that's when, for me, I recognized. I said, oh, yeah, he's coming into his own. He's no longer just OJ, the running back.
Yeah, for me, probably.
I wasn't on the show.
Go ahead. Yeah, Mo, go ahead. No, go ahead. It's cool.
No, I wasn't. Just from me watching, I obviously didn't do a show with him, but when he said that sometimes you got to zip up that nigga suit, that was my favorite one.
Yeah, he said he would fight Ben Simmons for Cam.
Right? That was crazy. Yeah, that was nuts, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I was my man. That's what I'm saying, today, man.
There we go, OJ.
Ben, he said you got my back, man. My favorite, it's a lot. And after the break, we're gonna have a tribute for OJ. But one of my favorites off the top of my head is when he asked Mace if he could button up his jacket.
Yeah.
He thought Mace's jacket looked tight.
He said, I got one last question. Mace, can you button that jacket? Can you button that suit?
Yeah, that's the one that comes to my head right now, Paul.
Yeah, and nobody could say I'm not an expert because OJ told me before he left I'm an expert. So
yeah, he did give you. He did say that.
He did say that. So I'm gonna see how Cam feel about that moving forward. OJ, in his last words, told me I was an expert.
I'm just saying, Mason, you never met with O outside the show. He told me the real story when I was hanging out with him at the bar. I felt. Okay. I won't let you know.
Well, he's not here to verify that. I can only say what I heard when I was present.
Yeah, and I can only tell you what I heard. That's all I can do.
Yeah. Mine has got to be granddaddy issues when we were talking about him being in Los Olas. Because I was like, why are you out in Miami? Like, that whole connection was so funny for me. And then, you know, Mason and Cam both joking about, like, all right, oh, like, Stat doesn't got granddaddy issues now. Like, chill out. That, and then obviously the classic, Ayuk, every time like we would talk about the 49ers. So definitely a lot of great moments. And the list goes on. Definitely you guys put in the comments your favorite OJ moment. On that note, we are going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Cam's trying to make me and OB beefing on his day out. That's a Harlem nigga for you, right? Yo, you know he said this about change your whole feelings on the exit.
Okay. Yo.
She called us thinking about us toxic. 4 years and counting. Got you feeling like an option. Maybe I'm my own problem, babe. She tired of hearing I don't know. What's happening to me won't fall. Oh, oh. Dealing with this thing called trust. But she really thinking about she it. She wanna be free. Why am I in this woman? She wanna be free. Hell, I don't wanna see her walk away. I wish somebody told me the rules. Disagreements let her win, and it's cool. Even when I'm right, this ain't about.
Welcome back. Now let's get into our Underdog Fantasy picks of the day. Tonight, the Nuggets will play the Spurs. Underdog Fantasy has Jokic at 27.5 points. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Higher.
Cam?
Higher.
Hey, Jamal Murray is at 4 first quarter points. Do you have him higher or lower, Cam?
Higher.
Higher.
And Wemby is at 5 assists. Do you have him higher or lower, Mace?
Lower.
Yeah, I'm going to go lower as well.
Okay. download the Underdog Fantasy app and you can make your picks too. Again, rest in peace, OJ. Keep watching to see our tribute for Uncle O. And as always, it is what it is. We are joined back with our analyst, OJ, but let me come correct and give him the proper introduction.
Let's go.
Okay. OJ was a two-time All-American at USC and the 1968 Heisman Trophy winner. He was selected as the number one overall pick by the Bills in the 1969 NFL Draft. He was named an NFL Player of the Year in various selections in 1972, 73, and 75. He was both All-AFC and All-Pro 5 straight years from 1972 through 1976. He played in 6 Pro Bowls, winning Player of the Game honors in the 1973 game. He had a phenomenal season in 1973, where he also became the first back in history to rush for over 2,000 yards. He also led the league in rushing in 1972, 73, 75, and 76. And he holds the record for the single season yards per game average at 143.1. Introducing the OJ Simpson.
Yo, you be killing that shit. Stop, stop the press. Stop the killing that. That was like brushing shoulder off. Okay.
Welcome back. Today we are joined by one of our football analysts, OJ Simpson.
Juice, what's up, Juice?
All is well.
What's up, Juice?
All is well.
What's good? What's happening, man? Yo, welcome to
the SC, baby.
Yo, I'm so sorry we couldn't have you in studio. Well, but next week you're gonna figure this shit out, man. We're gonna do this thing. So we're all together filming, man. But thank you for joining the show. We're very excited. And congratulations on making your comeback on Twitter. We see everything you're doing. And we know that your knowledge for the game is impeccable, boy, baby. Yes.
Thank you. Well, it's X now. I'm having a little beef with him right now.
You're having beef with niggas don't want no beef with those. What's the problem? What happened? You having beef with X for what?
It got me around 1 million people that keep me there.
Right.
And I've got 2 of my closest friends that I play golf with who follow me say they don't give me an alert anymore when you're on. Wow. That we turn it on and you've done 5 tweets over 6 or 7 days. Right. So they shadow you.
Yo, let me ask you this shit real quick. Because, listen, I agree Josh Allen is a star. But let me ask you this. Is he a superstar? Because Patrick Mahomes is a superstar. Is Josh Allen a superstar?
When you start talking about quarterbacks, he's
you're a politician.
Come on, no.
Is he a superstar or not?
Josh Allen, when you talk about Josh Allen, you're going to be talking about, when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, I call him Mahomie because I was dressed as him 2 of the last 3 Halloweens. I had the wig and the little mustache, the whole thing. You got to talk about him in terms of Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, the best.
You're doing so everything, but your dance. I didn't know you danced this good. You are one of the best dancers I ever seen. We asked you a yes or no question.
Is he a superstar or not?
Yes or no?
Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. I do think Josh Allen is one of the best football players. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who was the first Heisman Trophy winner to go into the NFL Hall of Fame?
Was it you, O?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it.
The first Heisman to go to the Hall of Fame.
You know what's crazy?
Come from right here on It Is What It Is.
That's a fact. But you know why I love you on this show. I love it. I really do. You know why I love You know why I really love to have you on the show? Because you find the most sophisticated way to say niggas ain't shit. Them niggas ain't shit, man.
That's what I was about to ask you.
You find the most elegant ways to say
Them motherfuckers ain't shit. They played New York two times in a row. They was feeling themselves. Then they played a team that's worse than both them niggas and got spanked. Just in case you want to add that to your list.
Right, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, you asked who was playing. I want to ask you, where did you fly in? How long was your flight?
Okay, oh, you throwing shot? Let's go. Let me tell you something.
Right. Oh, you're absolutely right.
Oh, when I heard all those stats, now I know how young rappers look at me. They don't care about all of that,
is right. Where was you smoking and where did you come from? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm talking about you don't even know who playing who. Kind of jet lag you on.
Yeah.
I like that. Stay on his ass.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
I don't care. See, damn.
That was crazy. Like, you heard that,
I don't care. I say pause.
Teams are like 53 guys now. And if you're a good team, a great team, you got backup guys who come in and get the job done for you.
Listen, check this out. Basketball teams only got 12, 15 niggas, and they can't find backup niggas just as good as the person that's starting the game on second or third unit. So for you to try and find another position, when you got to put a lineman on the first unit, to find a second, third unit. Now, listen, I dig it. That's scouts' jobs and coaches' jobs to find talent to come off the bench. But don't act like they're always going to be just as good as the people starting the game on now. You're not going to find a T.J. Watt all the time like, damn, T.J.'s hurt. Why you ain't doing what Watt doing? It's not always going to happen. Or even his brother, Jay, them niggas is different type of niggas now. So when T.J. Watt goes out the game and you be like, why you ain't sacking nobody? Because he ain't T.J. Watt. We got a half of a T.J. Watt. So you can't do that. Oh, they trying to do their best to find the talent that they got.
You must be talking to a mirror in front of you because you make an argument with yourself. It's just as good. But every team, all these teams going to the Super Bowl, you look at their lineups, they got one or two backups in that lineup.
Well, you know, you're talking about Brown. You know, he, along with Tariq Hill, they're the only guy, receivers and stuff, to ever go over 1,000 yards in 8 games.
Right.
Both of those guys were over 1,000 yards, and it's only been 8 games. I wonder if anybody ever went over 1,000 yards in 7 games.
Yeah. Maybe it was. Yeah. Maybe,
I don't know.
Was it? Who could that possibly?
Who could that have been?
Who could it be? OJ Simpson?
Maybe it is.
The Cloud God. OJ the Cloud God.
What stat is that again? Oh, what happened now? What, 1,000 yards and what?
You know, this past week, both Tariq and Brown, they both went over 1,000 yards in only 8 games.
Right.
You know, this past week. And, you know, but they're talking receivers, grant you. But I know one guy that went over 1,000 yards, which is harder, rushing the ball, went over 1,000 yards in 7 games. Wow. That was yours truly.
Yeah, I would just say when you look at the Cardinals, football is simple. You're not going to win if all you get is one touchdown and the other quarterback get 4. It's just math, science.
You have a firm grasp on the obvious, buddy. You really do.
That's what I'm supposed to do. That's why I proceeded by saying that. Yeah, listen, it's not supposed to be that complicated, you know? It's actually real obvious.
Nigga, Oto Murder, yo. Wow, you really know what 2 + 2 means. You killed it with that. He told you in a nice way. You have a firm. Hey, yo, Lo, I'm stealing that, though. You have a firm grasp on the obvious one, nigga. Like, if you get 4 touchdowns and another person doesn't, of course you're going to win.
Well, you'd be surprised how many girls got father issues and granddaddy issues.
I wasn't gonna let the cat out the bag. But everywhere I meet, oh, I'm not saying he's with him, but it is some nice ladies in the environments that I meet OJ in. I mean, see, the thing about me, oh, at my age too, is what I learned is I used to run around. See, I was a CEO and a member of one of the greatest hip hop groups in history. So we ran around with 40 guys, 30 guys, like all the time. So now I run around when I go to spots. If I go to, let's say, a club, let's say if I'm in Vegas, I go to Dre's. And now I'm surround myself with 10 to 15 to 20 females. It got so crazy one day. Like, so one of my old friends is here, my man Tito, matter of fact. Tito been with me since the very, very beginning. So we're walking in the club. And like I said, Tito's been around since it's been like 30, 40 of us. And we're walking in the club with about 25 females. There's four of us and 25 females. And Tito's so confused because he used to 30 niggas running with us every day. He talking about, hey, is all these girls with us? I say, yeah, T, that's how we moving now, man. We did 30 niggas already. We moving 20 girls or better because I like to surround myself with beauty. He didn't figure it out till later on after about four or five drinks.
What size wine glass is that? Like, yo.
No, it's actually, to be honest, it's not a wine glass, to be honest. Yeah. And it's not wine.
What is it?
It's blueberry juice.
Yeah,
blueberry juice is very healthy for you.
If you think we think that's blueberry, blueberry wine.
Blueberry juice. Yeah. We got to be on semi health kick here.
Okay, cool.
Blueberry is really good for you.
What does it do, O?
It helps your blood. You know, it helps. You know, I've been dealing with some health issues lately. And so I'm trying to be on a completely health kick. So I take my vitamins, I drink my blueberry juice, and, try to keep it going.
Good.
Drinking your blueberry juice in style.
Stay healthy. Oh, we need you here, baby. Yes. Just in case you want to add that to your list.
Right. My bad.
Yeah. Okay. Mace, when you asked who was playing, I want to ask you, where did you fly in? How long was your flight?
Okay, oh, you throwing shot? Let's go. Let me tell you something.
Right. Oh, you're absolutely right.
Oh, man. When I heard all those stats, now I know how young rappers look at me. They don't care about all of that,
Oh, is right. Where was you smoking and where did you come from? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm talking about you don't even know who playing who. Kind of jet lag you on.
Yeah.
I like that. Stay on his ass, boss.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
I don't care. See, man.
That was crazy. Oh, you heard that,
I don't care. I'm gonna say pause.
Debo is a beast. He's on my fantasy team, so I couldn't be happier right now. But the Niners are the best team in football if everybody's on the field healthy. Now the closest team.
Not
to
what you
him,
said
you
last
me,
week. Oh, we went to the videotape before we started the show. You said that Philly was the best team in football last week. Because I knew you were try this week. I went and watched the episode before we came and filmed today. You said the best team in football last week was the Philadelphia Eagles. I checked the tape.
You're talking 2 weeks. You may have been talking 2 weeks ago. You pulling out
my goodness.
2 week tape.
Yo, you got to stop this.
I think Philly was a great team. But the 49ers went healthy are the best team in football.
Oh, we're going to leave you up here talking by yourself if you pull out again. Pause. That was crazy, I can't believe you did that,
Did you ever hear about this White House in the 90s that Michael Irvin and all the guys that was on cocaine for the Dallas Cowboys?
We used to call it all us players. I'm just saying this. And I'm not getting on no cowboy. I'm just saying in the league – when they were calling it America's team, we were calling it South America's team.
Colombia, Bolivia. Yeah, that pure cocaine.
That's the honest to God truth.
Yeah, South America's team.
I'm not getting on anybody now, but that's what guys in the league was calling them.
So do you know about this White House that we just learned about this thing? Jermaine Dupri was on the show, and I know they was sniffing coke. And this is what I recommended to Jerry Jones, and I'm not. People think I'm joking.
I thought maybe this would have been the opportunity, but we'll see what happens next year. But I always want the underdog to win. That's also why I wanted Lion Slim, but we'll get to that next. But yeah, it's my thought process.
Hey, yo, oh, the light-skinned niggas zipped up their nigga suit. Light-skinned niggas zipped up their nigga suit, man. That's what they zipped up their nigga suit, man. They got busy today.
They got that like a zip.
They zipped up their nigga suit. I don't know if you watched the show also last week. Ben Simmons said it ain't no problems. We all good. He said, no disrespect to the family. It is what it is, family. And we good. Yeah, so I just like, you know, yeah. I got to update it. Yeah, they said, Ken, we don't need your uncle coming out with no problems. So uncle, oh, everything is fine. So I said, yeah, I got to call my uncle for every time I got problems. I know who to call now. They said that we good, though. But them light-skinned niggas won today, baby.
On that note, we're going to go to break. And when we return, we will discuss the 49ers.
Hey, don't think no light-skinned nigga can't zip up that nigga suit. I know I have to. I know I had two.
Yo,
I had
I
to
hope
go
they're still recording.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It took to get to the AFC Championship. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Especially don't start the rigging on our night. Say that for next year.
I told my son that you were going to be hammering me tonight.
Hey, blueberry juice.
Wow, Myrtle. That's blueberry, what you're going to be doing. Pause.
Uncle Jose. Okay, kind of just rolled past that one. Yeah.
I will say this is, said the Cowboys was the best team in football. Now, yeah, all of a sudden, the Bills is the best team in football. Last week, Miami was the best team in football. You was having nightmares last week.
Yeah, now you wasn't ready to say anything yet.
Yeah, last week you wanted scissor, you wanted lean, you wanted Tylenol, you wanted whatever you could do to go to sleep because Miami was the best team in football. Now you got jet lag. Now you got jet lag, and the Bills are the best.
Scared me. Pause, guys. Pause here now.
Okay.
I said they scared me. I didn't say I think they were the best team. If they won, I would have definitely thought they were the best team.